107 here on a Saturday at News Talk 830 WCCO. Tech Talk underway. Doug Swinhart in studio. And the rules are simple. If you're having problems with your computer, hardware, or software, whatever, feel free to call the program. 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. That's good for the phone lines and the text lines. And remember, it's better to call or text early. We'll be sure to get to your call or text later in the program. You're kind of rolling the dice. So 651-989-9226. Before the program today, you talked about a solid state drive and an upgrade. And we brought it up a week ago, Doug. If you have an older computer with a traditional hard drive, one of the best things you can do, and it's relatively affordable, if you take your time, you could probably do it yourself, is do that upgrade.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, I was fortunate this week at my house. It's Mac week. I got three separate systems in to take care of. Got two SSD drives to put in, and one in particular really got my attention. It was an iMac 2013, and I decided to go with the newer operating system. I cannot believe the difference in this computer. My goodness. I believe the hardware. I think it came to $195. It's just blistering fast. Blistering fast.
Night and day.
Oh, there's no comparison. I opted to do a fresh install and use Apple's new data migration tool, which is just slick. That operating system being a fresh install really made a difference in this thing. I'm so pleased with this. I just can't say enough good things about it.
But Windows machines, laptops, desktops, you name it. And it is relatively straightforward if you take your time. And I know you have your favorite SSD drives. I know you've talked a lot about Samsungs and being relatively straightforward.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, the thing is with a Mac, it appears to me that each Mac you have to take as an individual unit, and they will take a little bit more time, but there is an enormous amount of information. Now, we purchased the hardware for this Mac from Otherworld Computing, MacSales.com, a tremendous business dedicated to Mac, used Macs, refurb Macs, upgrading Macs, and the hard drive that they sent was a 1 terabit. It was just a wonderful piece of equipment. If we're doing PCs, we can go with a Samsung if you're going to do a drive mirror. But you can get an Inland Professional, 240 gig Inland Professional Micro Center for $25. So I picked up three of them on Sunday. Depending upon your computer, I try to judge how much people I would encourage them to spend on hardware with the total value of their computer. If you've got a 15-year-old computer, buy a $25 drive and let the good times roll. If you've got a 2-year-old computer that you're using for work and using for school or home, then step up and get yourself a Samsung, get a nice drive, get a 512, somewhere around 500 gigabytes, and put it together with a mirroring so you can maintain your Windows license and just roll forward. It's amazing the difference. And with laptops and portables, it really is a no-brainer. They put off no heat whatsoever. They take a fraction of the power. It's just, and I think they weigh considerably less as well. So it's just an absolute no-brainer. Yeah, I would encourage every person that's using some sort of a computer to consider and do some research on a solid-state drive.
And by the way, we'll have Doug's phone number and email a little bit later on in the program toward the end if you want help with that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's one of those where there's a lot of tutorials online, and I'll walk you through it.
YouTube especially. Yeah, you know, if people have a secondary computer, you can actually find videos that go step by step by step by step. And if you've got a computer sitting next to it, connected to the net, next to the one you're working on, you hit your pause button, do your little thing. Something comes up, you still got a machine there. You can do some research behind the video, pull up an open browser. Yeah, you can get through this. Just take your time. Take your time. When you're installing hardware, never force anything. Gentle, gentle, gentle. When you're tightening, you need them snug, but do not over-tighten. And that's extremely crucial with a Mac. Some of the screws are extremely small and require special equipment. And that's kind of why I like this Other World Computing. You can buy a kit and they even send you the tools. It's really good. It's good. It's come a long way in the last 10 years.
By the way, our number on the program, 651-989-9226. We've made it easy now. One number, call or text all our programs here at CCO. All right, running an MS Surface Pro 3, is Windows Defender sufficient protection, or should I be running additional spy malware protection?
You know, the way Microsoft has this set up, it should suffice. Now, it really kind of depends on you as a user, what you're doing with your machine, where you're going. There's nothing wrong with an extra antivirus. I think if you've got Windows Home or the Starter, you're definitely going to want to get Malwarebytes or Spybot Search and Destroy, which if you pay, I think it's $20 a year, they will add an antivirus as well. Both of them are real competent, and the way Microsoft is set up is Windows Defender will allow that commercial package to do its thing, but kind of lay in the background and just kind of keep an eye on it. If anything happens, if it expires or your patterns aren't up to date, Windows Defender will pick up and take off and just jump right in and fill in that gap. But there's nothing wrong with an extra one. On a Surface Pro, probably not. I think that's probably, you're good to go on that one.
All right, Windows Defender is still pretty good.
Oh, sure.
All right, Doug, can you put an SSD drive into, say, a PS4 or an Xbox system?
I believe anything that has a SATA interface. I've heard of people doing this, and the big thing is how to mirror that drive. I got to tell you, too, that if you're able to accomplish this, you're going to have a lot faster device. I think you're going to want to make sure that you're out of warranty, because it's definitely going to break whatever warranty that you have unless you're a qualified, authorized repair individual. But I believe that anything with a SATA interface, if you can mirror it so you can actually get the exact operating system on that SSD drive, it should work. A number of years ago, when the SSDs first came out, I had DirecTV, and that had a hard drive in it. And I was able to replace that hard drive with a solid-state drive. And it made quite the difference. It was an enormous speed difference.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a lot online about that with all the gamers out there and how they can soup these machines up. So I would check that out as well. Once again, the PlayStation and the Xbox. My daughter's a big gamer, so we got one of each at home.
Oh,
so
sweet.
There you go.
Well, you got some work to do then. Yeah. But one thing I would like to mention on running searches in Google is if you're running this search, it might be a good idea, after you put in what you're going to search for, slide up and click the tools indicator on the top screen of Google, then slide over to the left and indicate the last year. That way your results are going to be current within the last 365 days. That will actually help give you some current information and reduce the amount of looking and hunting and pecking you're doing from your search results. But Google and the internet, as you know, it's a wealth of information.
To the phone lines we go here on Tech Talk with Doug. Let's go to Darren and Albert Lee. Darren, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Doug, my question is regarding a screen replacement. I dropped my Lenovo Yoga 2 solid-state drive, and you know, the screen works except for maybe an inch-wide ribbon of light that comes on. And I hate to lose this computer.
That's a nice machine that you have. I think I got a handle on what you have. If that was at my house, I would actually go to eBay, and I would put in my exact model and screen replacement. And on eBay, I like buying equipment on eBay for a couple reasons. First of all, eBay, as you know, really watches people's reputations. Second, you're going to get everything up front right away as to how long it's going to take to come. Do they allow returns? And if they allow you to pay it with PayPal, that gives you a double and a triple protection as to what you're getting. I have had great success on eBay buying parts. And in fact, in your particular position, you may actually find a machine that somebody wants to sell the entire machine, and they say it's dead. This works. This is why it's dead. Could be motherboard, could be any number of things. You might be able to buy a whole entire machine and carry your maintenance through for the next decade. But that's what I would do. You should be able to go to Lenovo and locate a service manual and do a good bit of reading through that service manual and find out what kind of tools you're going to need step by step. And when you go to do this, I like doing them at night. Phones aren't ringing. Nobody's around. It's nice and quiet. Take your time. Line up the screws exactly the way you took them out so you're putting them exactly back into the same holes. And I know they look the same and they look, but sometimes they have actually a little bit different threads, or during the manufacturing process, they can tighten them a little bit too tight and they'll fit better. So put them back in the exact place where you took them out. Take your time and you can do this. If you need some help with that, give me a call and we'll walk you right through it.
By the way, Doug's phone number and email later in the show before we say goodbye. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll visit with Dave in Invergrove. Here are the numbers. It's simple. Phone or text 651-989-9226. Tech Talk, Doug Swinhart in studio here on CCO. It is 1:21 on a Saturday. Steve Thompson in, Doug Swinhart here. It is Tech Talk. Jonathan Lowe is our producer today. Always good to see Jonathan on a Saturday. Always good to see Jonathan anytime. 83 degrees, partly cloudy. West winds at 9. Our dew point 61 here in the Twin Cities today. The much better day. Showers and thunderstorms look pretty likely on Sunday here in the greater Twin Cities area and beyond. We'll keep you up to date on that. We promised we'd go to the phones right away here on Tech Talk. And here's Dave in Inver Grove. Dave, you're on the air.
Hey, Doug. Long time no see. About a year ago, because I listened to you on the radio for so many years, I had a problem with, an older version of a laptop, Toshiba laptop, and it was causing me a lot of problems. So I called you up, came over to your house, and you just took care of me. And I'm telling you what, 2 years later, that thing is still going strong at the vacation.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was great. So you did a great job. But here's a real quick question.
Sure.
At home here in my office, I have an older personal PC computer. It's a Hewlett Packard. And, you know, it works great. I got a nice big screen, and I got fast internet from Comcast, so it works great. But it's hooked up to an Ethernet cable, okay, and not Wi-Fi. So with that said, we're moving, and the room that I'm putting it in, the place I'm putting in, even though they could run a cable there and everything, I want to know. Like, my wife has a newer PC, whatever brand it is. But hers, just because it's a newer one, just, you know, there's something inside of that PC that she can hook up wireless, okay, and doesn't have to have the Ethernet cable. So I'm wondering, is there some way you can work your
piece
magic,
of cake,
shall we say?
Oh, this is
my older one, hook up to Wi-Fi by attaching some parts or doing something.
You know, you can get a Wi-Fi adapter, plugs right into your USB port. Train it up, and it's like it's an internal Wi-Fi. When you go shopping for this, I want you to spend a little time reviewing and doing a little research on what's happened through the evolution of Wi-Fi. The 802.11 is the actual, I don't know how to say it, topology of what we're working with. But there are different speed variances in there. And if you can get one that will do 5 gigahertz, an 802.11 AC, for example, that would be a tremendous boost. Now, in addition to that, there is actually networking available that will run through your electrical AC outlets, which might also be an option for you.
That's relatively new, isn't it?
It is.
They're starting to hone in on that technology. You see more and more hardware that'll turn the wiring in your home into a gigantic antenna for your Wi-Fi, because a lot of homes have trouble with reception in certain rooms if you have a big fireplace or something along those lines.
This is actually pretty slick. I think with his HP, I think the best solution would be to buy an extender, even if the house doesn't need one. It would plug into an AC adapter, and it would talk to the Comcast modem through Wi-Fi. But a lot of these actually have an Ethernet port. And that way you're not changing your configuration at all. You're getting the max speed for the Wi-Fi, and it will cook. And you can usually pick one of them up today for 50, 60, 70 bucks. And if you need help finding one of those, you give me a call. We'll jump on Micro Center's website, and you can drive over and pick one up. And thank you so much for the call, Dave. It's always good to hear a little good news.
Yeah, and really, when it comes to Wi-Fi technology, this continues to evolve as well. Wireless routers the routers themselves are getting better. And then the stuff that goes along with it to make sure that you're getting coverage, whether it's out on the deck or the patio or out in the garage for that matter. I've got a neighbor, good friend, retired mechanic, who does a lot of work out in the garage because he's trying to search a code or whatever. So depending on how you use your computer, having good Wi-Fi throughout the house is becoming a bigger and bigger deal.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing I really like watching this particular part of the technology world is somebody somewhere said, well, how come wireless is slower than wired? And today, that's not always the case. Some of these Macs, too, the newer Macs, they come with Wi-Fi that's just as fast as an Ethernet. Amazing technology. Yeah.
It is 126. Let's go to the text line again. Remember, some phone lines open right now at 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. That's good for calls or texts here on the program. Last week, you gave a website address for cleaning up a computer that's very slow to start up. It's a Windows-based machine. What is the website? ADW Cleaner, maybe that came up on the program? Kind of clean up the machine a little bit?
Yeah, right away, if this was 3 months ago or 4 months ago, Steve, we'd be talking about CCleaner. You can still get a trial version of CCleaner. And Avast has bought Piriform out, I think lock, stock, and barrel. But there are still file depositories where you can get older versions of CCleaner. And I really like CCleaner, the way it cleans up a Windows machine. It's just, in fact, maybe it's time, Steve, we start encouraging people just to pay for it and buy it. CCleaner is worth every penny. I think they're wanting like 19 bucks for the package. It's well worth it. But CCleaner, CCLEANER, just run a search. I know that Avast now owns it, and when you actually install the trial version, they will install Avast antivirus too. And if you're looking for an antivirus, there's nothing wrong with Avast. It's right on top of the pile of who the good guys are. But I think they're probably referring to CCleaner, would be my guess.
Okay. So clean up that computer. You brought up ADW Cleaner before as well. What does that do?
This is a portable package that's produced by Malwarebytes. And ADW Cleaner is designed that if you have malware or virus running in RAM that your normal antivirus malware security package can't find or can't undo, ADW Cleaner will save on your desktop. You don't install it. You just run it, and it cleans it up. It will check to make sure that it has the most recent database and rock and roll. And just go to Google and type in ADWCLEANER and press enter and search. And if you have trouble downloading it, you can download it at Major Geek's file depository as well. It's a tremendous package. And you can't say thank you enough to Malwarebytes just for this particular little piece of work. It's a tremendous piece of work.
Quick break. We have the weather. We have more on Tech Talk. Here's the number. Text or call 651-989-9226. It is 129 on a Saturday at CCO. It is 135 Tech Talk underway here on a Saturday. Steve Thompson, Doug Swinhart. By the way, our phone number and text number is the same at 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Let's go to the phone lines again. Walter and Osceola, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, Walter. What's up?
How you doing?
Good, Walter.
I've got an HP desktop and Windows 10. On Windows 10, I keep getting a notation on the lower right-hand side that said Microsoft wants to verify that it's a real Windows 10. So it asked me to type in a number that I get from the desktop. I've typed that number in at least 5 times.
Walter, you got to give me a call this afternoon. I'll take care of that for you. I know exactly what you're dealing with. This is an ugly, ugly thing that they've got on their server. They've got your original computer because yours was a refurb. I guarantee it. And your original update shows that it had Windows Server on it. And when it was refurbished, you went to a normal desktop. Yeah, I'll take care of that. Give me a call later, and I'll pick up, and we'll rock and roll and have that done for you in minutes. And I'm sorry you're having a problem, my man.
Yeah, sometimes when you have to enter passwords multiple times and...
Well, this is actually something different from that.
Well, right. It's a registration key. But it does get frustrating. It's like, how many times do you need to ask me for the same information? You know,
yeah.
What is going on? And we went through that for a while on the work computers where we had voice over internet telephones in our offices. And it was just like every other day we were entering passwords in all these devices and our laptops. It just was driving people nuts. Now they've got that cleaned up, but it is annoying.
Well, and I should give you some background here, Steve. I actually put this system together for Walter. I know the computer he has. We did a dual boot with Linux and Windows. And then he wanted Windows 10, so we went to Windows 10. And that I think is where the problem with any time he's even close to a Microsoft says, wait a minute, something's not right. They've got this thing registered now, would be like the third product key. And they're going, that's not right. So that's why he's getting this. But I can shut that nonsense off. We'll get him taken care of.
So it is one of those things where you're running into that you do want to get a hold of someone and not put up with that aggravation. Generally, these things should run pretty smooth where, you know, you log in and you're good to go and shouldn't have to horse around with that sort of stuff. So good. Doug, by the way, his phone number and email coming up a little bit later on in the program. Let's stay on the phone line. Let's go to Rob in New Ulm. Rob, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just got a quick question. I have one of those Blink wireless cameras. I got it for a birthday present. And anyway, long story short, it doesn't communicate with my wireless setup in the house. I've called the company, and they say it's the type of wireless, like WP level, and then I've talked to the local company or the local phone company about the wireless, and they say no, or my internet provider, and they say no, it's the camera. So I'm not sure what. It's fairly new.
So. You got to give me a call so I can actually jump on my computer and take a look at the configuration of this machine. I have a feeling that sometimes even if it's new, sometimes these things wireless will only connect at 802.11 B or G, and they won't go to N. And your router may be set up to disallow anything below N. It may be as simple as one quick little change on your modem. You call it a modem. It's actually a router. But give me a call, and we'll connect up, and I'll take a look, and 10 minutes of configuration. And if it doesn't work, then you're going to know why it's not working, and you may need to return the product or get an update. Thank you for the call. I hope that helps.
Yeah, and these wireless cameras are more and more popular. You see kind of the doorbell cameras and all these other products in the home for security or whatever. But sometimes that can get tricky.
Oh, yeah.
You know, generally they're plug and play, but when they're not,
oh, yeah, you know, they try to make it so you turn it on and maybe you use a smartphone to connect it. I'm not so certain he hasn't combined two different methods to connect, the manual and then, of course, this WPS method, which that's not going to be good with any modem or router. You want to keep your entire local area network consistent with all your devices. But until somebody actually explains this, it can be a little daunting. Once we get it all coordinated with all of his devices, it'll be just goof-proof perfect.
651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Sometimes when I go on my computer after being off for maybe an hour, sometimes more, my computer comes back from a sleep mode. The monitor comes on, but I have no cursor. I move the mouse all over the place, but it doesn't show up. I have to restart to get the cursor back. What could be going on there?
That's actually a conflict between the way the power settings are set up in the BIOS and how the power settings are set up in software, being the operating system, Windows or Linux. That's got to be coordinated. If you're in Windows 8 or 10, you're going to want to boot into your setup and take a look and start to do a little research on S4, S5 settings. And in fact, your simplest might be to shut off the hardware power settings. If you shut that off and just give it to the software, that also should correct this problem. This is pretty common, Steve, when people are taking stuff out of Hibernate and standby and all that. Most of the time, and with an SSD, you can shut almost all that stuff off other than turning your screen off. That way, you don't have to worry about the timing issues, and hard drives stop and drain. RAM stops and drains. So it's really not using any more power, whether you're using the standby or the Hibernate or nothing at all. But screen burn is an issue. You don't want your screen to burn into whatever is being displayed. So after 14, 15 minutes, I shut off the screen, but I leave everything else on, and all this goes away.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of sleep or Hibernate. Either it's on or it's off. You know, you do have that screensaver mode, as you said, where it shuts down. At work, we have a protocol where it logs off, and you quickly log back in if you've been away from the computer for a period of time, a security measure.
Right.
But ultimately, I've never been a big fan of that, the sleep and the Hibernate and all that.
You know, here's the thing. I've been in this business a while, as you know. You can talk to 25 different people and have them explain the difference to you from sleep, Hibernate, and suspend, and you're going to get 52 different explanations.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre. I'm not certain anybody really, I get how it's saving the files and this kind of thing and making mirror images and supposed to be faster to do this and that. But you go, well, why? The equipment coming out today is so energy efficient that I just don't think that all this extra software nonsense is helping anything. And I believe it has a tendency of actually corrupting a lot of your cache files and the temporary files that it creates by making these functions happen. So I just turn them off. I have really no reason for them. So, but like I say, make sure your monitor after 14, 15 minutes just powers down. As soon as you touch a key or a mouse, your monitor will come back on and you'll be able to go to work.
I have a older Dell computer from our text line. I have an older Dell computer that has Windows Vista on it. Is it worth to put any money into this computer to kind of get it up and running again?
Yeah, you know, surprisingly, I'm going to say it probably is. If it has 2 gigabytes or more of RAM, absolutely. If you're willing to spend another $25 on a solid-state drive, I would pop that solid-state drive in there and put Linux on there so fast it would scare you. You will be amazed at how this thing runs. It'll boot in 35 seconds. You'll have full access to the Internet. Libre Office, you can open, edit, and save all your Microsoft Office data files. It's just a no-brainer. Put some life back into that, baby. Don't be throwing it away. It's probably a lot more computer than you know. And if it has 4 gigs of RAM, now you really got a winner. And a lot of Vista machines came with 4 gigs.
Yeah, so don't throw it away.
No.
If the hardware is in good shape, why not?
Absolutely.
Why not keep it running? It is Tech Talk on a Saturday here at CCO. Doug Swinhart in studio. Twins and White Sox later on a Sports Saturday. Get started following the news and weather at 2. Number again, 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. To the phones we go. Mary, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Mary. Hello. Do we got you?
You do. Can you hear me?
Sure. Yeah. Let's rock.
All right. This sounds kind of screwy, but I got a Chromebook. I thought it was an HP. It turns out to be a Lenovo.
Wow, that happened.
I've never I had never heard of Lenovo.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a lot of manufacturers that are installing hardware with the Chrome OS. That's not unusual. Is there something I can help you with it with that you're having trouble?
I need to know how to compare it. I know you were very high on the HP product, and I was wondering how this one compares, and I haven't really used it yet. I'm going to have it booted up pretty on Tuesday. I'm going to have someone from the Geek Squad do it.
Oh, you can take care. You can take care of that. Well, here's the thing. I don't want to tell people that HP is the only computer to buy. There are a lot of good computers out there. And I must tell you this as well. I have had tremendous success with Lenovo's. You got a good computer. There's no question in my mind. The Chrome operating system, if you fire that thing up, it's going to walk you through, as long as you can connect it to your wireless, it's going to rock and roll. Now, the one thing I do, Steve and I make mention of with Chromebooks, is you really do want to have a good, fast internet. These things are more oriented to being online all the time. But you bought a nice machine. And good luck. And if you have any trouble or questions, feel free to give me a call. I love working on them.
Yeah, we've talked about Chromebooks quite a bit for the price point. A number of years ago, I bought an HP Chromebook. I still use it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I bring it out. I've brought it to Target Field. I've brought it to other events. I'll bring it out to the fair. As a matter of fact, my wife got a Chromebook as well because she finally had an old MacBook Pro that it was time to put into retirement. This thing was 10 years old, 11 years old. Yeah. It was having some issues, some hardware issues. Hard to beat, but you're right. There are a lot of great products. Acer makes a Chromebook. I mean, look around. They're available wherever you buy electronics. I've had good luck with the HP.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the thing. We are going to see more and more Chromebooks and Chromeboxes, which would be the desktop version, as we move forward. I played with Samsung, Asus, Acer. There are a lot of them out, and they all run good. The Chrome operating system actually requires considerably less hardware to really get the job done and get the job done properly. So, and that really equates to how much out-of-pocket expense they are to buy. That's truly what's making them less expensive. That they just run. You know, when Google first started this, they touted this operating system as always new. Never needed to be updated. Anytime that you're online, it's just don't have to worry about viruses, no anti-malware. You just run. Comes so you can do docs and spreadsheets and pictures, and you've got a huge storage space with Google Drive up in the cloud. They are a tremendous value, I believe. I think it's one of the best buys you can get today is a Chromebook.
Let's go to Bob. Bob, you're on the phone lines. Hello.
Hi, I have about an 8 or 10-year-old desktop Dell computer that has Windows 7, and I'm not sure whether I should get rid of the whole computer and start over or whether I should try to update it to Windows 10 and continue to use it. It does run a little slow, and I like to do a lot of photography editing.
Ah, I see. All right, well, I don't want to be over self-promoting, but you should know that I would love to take a look at that computer. I would run a complete hardware diagnostics to find out what you got and make a recommendation. That computer truly is within my wheelhouse. I can almost guarantee that with a 240-gig solid-state drive for $25, reinstall, and I would encourage you to stay with 7. Reinstall Windows 7, get that baby optimized to the 9s, purchase a commercial antivirus, and let the good times roll. This way, whatever photographic software you have purchased for the machine already, you should be able to reinstall without any issue. You've got all the licenses, it's all paid for, and rock and roll. I'd love to hear from you next week. Give me a call, and we'll see if we can get a time set up, and you can drop that thing off at my place, and I'll run a diagnostics for you, and we'll go from there.
All right, we'll have Doug's phone number and email in a moment before the end of the program. Daryl, having trouble with PDFs. What do you got, Daryl?
I've got my computer is a. But anyway, I can't open up any PDF files.
Hmm.
I talked to Doug about a month ago, and I was having trouble with Office. and you had me install Libre.
Oh, Libre. Uh huh.
Yeah, but I.
Oh, you know what? I'm not sure. I think what's happened to your PDFs has nothing to do with Libre, but what I see that's common is you may need to go to and download Acrobat Reader, or you might also want to just open up a browser, go to google.com, and in the search box, type in Sumatra, S-U-M-A-T-R-A, and then hit your space bar, and then type in Major Geeks, and download and install Sumatra. Now, your computer is probably a 64-bit, and Sumatra comes in two flavors, a portable or a full installable. In your instance, I would do the install. Once you'd run that, every PDF, and then you got to associate a PDF file being your default to open up that program. And if you have trouble with that, give me a call. I'll walk you right through it. This is not a tough problem at all. And we'll get you taken care of. And thank you so much for the call.
Yeah, I know sometimes PDFs and getting them to open in Windows 10, sometimes you got to open, I use Adobe Acrobat. You know, open that first, then open the PDF. Windows 10, there's some sort of funny routing going on.
Yeah, I'm not certain what's happening. I'm not thrilled. I've noticed that same effect. Windows 10 wants you to open it up in Microsoft Edge. And it's a PDF. It's a portable document format. I would much prefer that you use a PDF program. Yeah, I've seen that right from day one with Windows 10.
All right, we're out of time on the program, but we want to get Doug's phone number and email out there. Of course, Tech Talk Saturday is between 1 and 2 here on the CCO. Doug, how do we reach you?
651-552-9543. And, of course, WCCOTech.com. WCCOTECH.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you, Steve. We had great calls today.
Yeah, a lot of great calls as always. Doug, have a good day. Enjoy the beautiful weather.